This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an artistic look at Puerto Rico through the eyes of artists spanning several generations, or an evening of radio stage magic, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. A critical moment in Puerto Rican history is reflected in an exhibit at Tulane's Newcomb Art Museum. Beyond the Canvas, Contemporary Art from Puerto Rico showcases the works of multi-generational Puerto Rican artists and coincides with the 100th anniversary of Puerto Ricans' U.S. citizenship. The exhibit is curated by Museum Director Monica Ramirez Montague and artist architect Warren James. Warren joins us by phone from New York. Hello.
Hello.
Tell me, how did this exhibit, Beyond the Canvas, come about?
The director of the Newcomb Art Museum at Tulane University invited me to co-curate with her an exhibition to present at Tulane and New Orleans, a group of artists from Puerto Rico. The museum had not done a show of artists from Puerto Rico in some time, and it was timely.
The socioeconomic crisis in Puerto Rico continues to make national headlines. Can you tell me what these contemporary works in the exhibit, Beyond the Canvas, tell us about the current state of the island?
Well, the five artists have been working for decades in Puerto Rico, and their work reflects several aspects of culture and art from Puerto Rico, but also beyond Puerto Rico. They encompass things like minimalism and abstraction, which is your universal artistic impulse. They also reflect the concerns and issues of women and feminist ideals in two of the five artists that are working. And I think that they all encompass and they reflect both current situations, but also they reach back to decades before. And so we have in the exhibition a full chronological spectrum and a full historical portrait of influences and concerns of the artists of Puerto Rico.
So who are the artists and how are they challenging the canvas in this exhibit?
Well, the first one I'd like to bring to your attention is Celia Sanchez. She's now in her 90s. She has been teaching in Puerto Rico Fine Arts School of San Juan. She has been working for over 50 years with the approach to canvas as a surface, almost like a skin. And what you see in the galleries, in the exhibition, are canvases that have been stretched and painted with an underlaying wood armature. But the forms that you see are quite soft and feminine, referencing the body. And they're quite beautiful if you look at them at first glance, but then you understand that she is referencing feminine forms, and she's also making use of the canvas in a way that is not the usual way. She's making almost like landscapes, but she's working with a canvas in a three-dimensional way. Another of the artists is Elsa Maria Melendez, and she takes the canvas and she's sewing and she's cutting in almost like a seamstress. She is creating works which are quite soft and accumulative of different pieces and fragments of fabric that she takes. And she too also has expressed issues of feminism and women's issues in a culture that can be perceived to be male-dominated. And I think she's also speaking quite eloquently. She encompasses also text into her writing. She puts text, writing with a sewing machine, onto the canvas and onto the fabrics that she uses. And the other artists in the exhibition, one of them is Julio Suarez. Julio is working with canvas almost like a pleated surface. He's also in the line of art, minimalism and abstraction. he uses canvas in a way that I had not seen before. He is taking the canvas and he's making it pleated, almost like you're ironing your shirt. And you make these pleats and you make them perfectly crisp and rectilinear. And with this, he creates compositions on the canvas, on the paintings. He uses then color, and he makes them very, very geometric in their expression. But they have a three-dimensional. They have a relief, and I think that this is also unique. That puts his work in the context of minimalism and abstraction. And other artists, and this is a completely different way of working, is Arnaldo Roche. He takes the canvas and he actually lays it on top of his models and he draws over the canvas and he scrapes the canvas, scrapes out the paint. And then what you end up with is these outlines of shapes and bodies. And he then gives these paintings incredibly poetic titles. One of them, the largest painting at the exhibition, is called Give Him Wings and He Will Fly. And what you see is a male figure with these giant wings made out of shipping crates. And these wings also make reference that when you're on an island, in order to get in or to get out, you have to fly. And I think that that was incredibly poetic. Another artist, Pedro Vélez, takes canvas. He rips it up, he cuts it, he makes it a very sort of shabby construction, and then he uses them to make flags and makes banners and makes things that are used usually for political ends or used for expressions in war. You have a flag at the end, whether it's a peace flag or it's a, you know, symbol of defiance. And he also is inserting into each of these paintings and compositions that he makes with ripped canvas. And he's also telling a story of what is happening in the moment when he's working. So I think that of the five, he's the one who is most reflective of political movements and political ideals on the island.
That's quite a wide range. Tell me how the artists were selected.
It was a process with Monica, the director of the Newcomb Museum. We went, both of us, to Puerto Rico, and we cast a very wide net, and we did a great deal of studio visits with different artists, and of course, one artist tells you about the work of another artist, and the artists know the work of their colleagues and peers. And so we did the research, and we did the studio visits, which is the procedure you normally go to see the artist. Now, they're working on something at the moment, but we also delve into works that they have done in the past. And the exhibition also presents works from decades ago or more recent works. So there's a full chronology of the works that were chosen. But I think in the end, we have five artists which have one thread that ties them together. They're all working with canvas and fabric. And that, to us, was a very compelling story because canvas is used in a certain way by many artists. But these five were using canvas in a completely different, innovative, but at the same time, challenging way.
I guess you could say that they were stretching the boundaries of the canvas?
They were stretching it. They were ripping the boundaries of the canvas. They were pleating the canvas itself. They were sewing the canvas and making it almost like a like a template for putting together a dress. And to us, these were very, very creative uses and interpretations of the canvas to other visual ways of working.
What do Puerto Rico and New Orleans have in common?
We see it as New Orleans and Puerto Rico share the Caribbean Sea. And the Caribbean is, in many ways, the crossroads of the world. The Caribbean has been where the French, the Spaniards, the Portuguese, the Dutch, and so many, and the British, of course, have crisscrossed the islands and let's say, the basin of the Caribbean. So at any moment that you have the Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico, that means that these were the highways for different other cultures that came and crisscrossed. And so cities like New Orleans, San Juan, Santo Domingo, Havana, Kingston, they all share this concept of crossroads and influences that came from outside, but also influences that came from within and then were exported.
How are you hoping New Orleanians will connect with these works?
I think it speaks to diversity, and it speaks to many themes that are recurring, both in terms of environment, in terms of artistic expression. I think it speaks to that spirit of from within we can express something that is beyond and transcends and becomes universal. So I think for the residents in New Orleans and students at Tulane University, they will see what is possible.
Beyond the Canvas, co-curator Warren James, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Beyond the Canvas, contemporary art from Puerto Rico is on view at the Newcomb Art Museum of Tulane University through July 9th. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Over in St. Bernard Parish, the new Valiant Theater and Lounge in Araby has caught the eye of the NOLA Voice Theater, their first of three summer radio theater shows, including selections from their original series Untold New Orleans, kicks off this month in support of the new theater. Joining me to talk about this venture are the NOLA Voice Theater's Vatican Loki and Edward Cox. Welcome.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
The Valiant Theater is just a stone's throw away from the Orleans Parish Line in Araby. How did it come to your attention? What's the backstory here?
This is Vatican. We had worked with Richard Mayer, who was the head of the Valiant Theater and Lounge in Araby. We knew that he had just opened the theater roughly 6 months ago. And with our company, NOLA Voice Theater, we go out of our way to offer support productions for the local theaters, particularly the new theaters that are coming up in town. Got together with Richard, put up the concept of doing a summer season, one show a month in support of the theater, and he was all for it. He's been a dream to work with throughout the entire process, and he's also in the cast.
Oh, my goodness.
He's also performing with us, and that's great because Richard really needs to be on stage. He's a fantastic actor.
Now, this is Radio Voice Theater. Explain how you take us back in time to the early part of the 20th century.
This is Edward. Going back in time, when there were live radio broadcasts, particularly radio broadcasts that involved musical acts, singers, you would have a live audience for the performers to perform in front of. So you had a live visual audience as well as a live radio listening audience on the radio. What NOLA Voice Theater is attempting to do is bring back those days by performing the live radio broadcasts in front of a live studio audience, where in this case it would be the theater audience. And the difference here is that not just getting up in front of the audience to the mics and performing and acting the dialogue and making the live sound effects happen, we also bring a visual aspect to it. We do have some visual theatrical presentation so that you're not just watching people standing around a mic reading lines. There will be acting, there will be visual presentation, and a more thorough sense of the atmosphere that's being created by the scripts that we present, whether it be Untold New Orleans in the first acts or the fuller, full radio broadcast shows such as Arsenic and Old Lace, Death Takes a Holiday, and The Shop Around the Corner. There are several of us who are Actors' Equity members. So thereby, this is being produced in
under the auspices of the Actors' Equity Association Members Project Code.
So now, what's on tap? What can we look forward to in the summer series?
Oh, we can look forward to some wonderful, wonderful performers. We've got some great theater stars. Of course, Edward R. Cox is the star of Untold New Orleans. He is the host of the show as Monsieur Dark, the keeper of the secret records for the city of New Orleans.
Bonjour, mes enfants. Comment ça va?
We have a scene from Untold New Orleans, and it's being performed today by a SAG-AFTRA actor named B.D. Boudreau and a wonderful community theater actor named Darcy Preston. And in this scene, which Monsieur Dark will be introducing, it's a story about the mirror ghost, Caroline, at Le Petit Theater.
The wonderful thing about theater folks is that they love to tell their stories to anyone that will listen. Such was the case in 1983 on a public radio program called New Orleans Listens. In this rare recording, the host Monica Paillette interviews local actor Franklin Peterson, and the conversation turned to the legend of Caroline.
Stepped on the rake, caught Petruchio right in his Coriolanus, and that was the last time I did a Shakespeare play.
Oh, that's rich. Now, there's one thing I wanted to talk about, and that's one of my favorite subjects in New Orleans, the ghosts of La Petite.
Oh,
I know, but I want to hear it from someone who's worked there a lot. Just one story.
Okay. I guess the one everybody finds out about first is the mirror ghost, Caroline. Legend is she was an actress at the theater in the 20s. Anyway, she was into this guy, and I think she got knocked up. Can I say it? And when the guy told her to take a hike, she climbed up to the attic and threw herself into the courtyard.
That fantastic courtyard at the theater. Nothing like it. If you haven't seen it yet, listeners, be a tourist in your own hometown. Go on, Frank.
Yeah. So, supposedly, I've never seen her, but I know lots of people who have. Since then, Caroline's been haunting the theater. Upstairs in the green room, there's this big, huge mirror. That's where they see Caroline.
Ooh, creepy. I love it. So what does Caroline look like when people see her?
Well, like I said, I haven't seen her. I try to avoid that mirror if I can, you know. I got enough crazy women around me. I don't need them coming out of my reflection, right? But, yeah, the people I know who've seen her say she's dressed in a white dress. Some say it's a wedding dress. Some say it's the costume she wore in a show. I don't know. But I know a lot of actors and actresses who say hi to Caroline whenever they pass the mirror.
That's great.
And what's interesting is that in this radio theater broadcast, the actors double as sound effects technicians.
Absolutely. Nearly all of the actors in the show, once they perform their roles, they'll pick up and they'll walk over to the sound effects pit, and they'll pick up the sound effects, and they will perform the sound effects live in front of the audience. And frankly, I think that's everybody's favorite part of the show. They love to watch us doing the sound effects.
For example, what will we see and hear?
Well, for example, walking down a street or walking on a wooden floor, easily accomplished with a pair of hard-soled shoes and two hands. You just put the shoes on your hands and you walk like this. Or, for example, the sound of a fountain. One of the scenes that we perform does require a fountain sound effect, and that's easily accomplished with a couple of cups of water, but also with a pair of car keys, making that gentle tinkling sound in the back. It's that little extra touch that really makes it come alive for the audience. Listen. Or this sound effect, which happens in the Rougarou murders, the sound of workers clearing out brush. And that entire sound effect was accomplished with a plastic bag full of newspapers.
That's incredible.
And a stick. That's it.
You're opening each of the three performances with Untold New Orleans, but there's also a second act. What will we see on Saturday?
On Saturday for the second act, we are doing a full-scale recreation of one of the great classic shows from the Golden Age of Radio, Arsenic and Old Lace by Joseph Kesterling, and it's a marvelous production.
Wow. Now let's move on to July and August.
July the 17th is a Monday night, and we specifically chose that Monday night as our industry night because so many people in the service industry never have the opportunity to go out and treat themselves to a show. And the third and final performance of the summer season will happen on Saturday, August the 19th. The show that night is The Shop Around the Corner. And The Shop Around the Corner is what the musical She Loves Me and the film You've Got Mail were based upon.
What will be most memorable from this event?
We would like for the audiences to walk out of our shows, one, wondering, quite frankly, how much of Untold New Orleans is actually true? Because we do semi-fictionalized accounts, but we also take into account a lot of actual reality and fact in these stories. With the second acts, the classic radio shows from the Golden Age, we want the audiences to leave with the same feeling that audiences had when they first heard these shows, a sense of wonderment, with laughter and with joy and tears, everything that you expect from a typical theater performance, but in an atypical way. We like to think that when our audiences come to see our radio productions and they get to see how the sound effects are done, how we perform them, what we're doing, we like to think of it as being backstage but on stage. They're getting a peek at how things are done. And I think that's one of the main things that people enjoy about radio theater, is seeing how things are done.
I believe the audience will take away the fact that they have actually been invited to bring their imagination to fruition and thus become thoroughly involved with what's being presented on stage and leave with the fact that they truly were more a part of this experience than they expected when they first came in.
The NOLA Voice Theater's award-winning stage veterans, Attican Loki and Edward Cox. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
NOLA Voice Theater kicks off its summer season at the Valiant Theater and Lounge, 6621 St. Claude Avenue in Araby, Saturday evening at 8. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.